today on Living on Every Word.
Are you dreaming the dreams of God today?
Listen, God has a dream for you. He's our Father. And none of us can really see it when we're going through the hard times of life. We have a God who gives dreams and gives visions. Never stop dreaming the dreams of your God.
If you're a parent, you may have had dreams for your kids. But did you know that your Heavenly Father has dreams for you? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how you can embrace those dreams no matter the disappointments you've experienced. In part four of Portraits of Forgiveness.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 37. We're in a series called Portraits of Forgiveness. And we're looking at those in Scripture that in some way have been wounded and have the choice to either walk in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, or the choice to find the grace of God to move from the wound, not allowing that wound to define us with anger and unforgiveness, but to walk in forgiveness. And Scripture is full of this. Scripture is full of these kinds of examples and illustrations. Matter of fact, the cross is all about this. When Jesus hangs on a cross and cries out, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," as we are wounding him from our sins, as we're nailing him to a cross, Jesus is forgiving. All of us have been wounded at some point in our lives. You may be going through some struggles right now where there are things that are being said to you or said of you or about you, or things that are being done to you that are just not right. And as a result of that, you find wounds. Wounds fester. If you nurture them, they will lead to some places that you don't want to be led to. I mean, I have the choice to either carry the hurt to the depths of the pit of destruction by walking in forgiveness, or the choice to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and offer the forgiveness and offer the release so that it doesn't define me anymore. Some of us have been defined by that, and we've walked in seasons of hurt, disappointment, unforgiveness. And you may be going through that today. Well, in this passage of Scripture, actually from 37 to chapter 50, is a story about a young teenager who was wounded by the words and actions of those who were supposed to love and protect him. He was a favorite of his father, but the source of bane of his brothers who wanted to kill him. The Bible said that his father sent him out to check on his brothers to see how they were faring. In the family sheep and goat business, and Joseph, this teenager, brought back a bad report. And they didn't like it, and they didn't like him. The father loved Joseph and honored him with a fancy robe. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 4, that his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. I don't know about you, but there are times in our lives that there are people in our lives that just don't like us. They can't speak to us kindly. And it may not be that severe for some of us, but all of us have been hurt somehow. And I don't know about you, but I know that if somebody says some things to me or cannot speak to me in friendly terms, it'll hurt my feelings. It'll bring a wound. It'll bring a wound to my heart and to your heart. Now, to make matters worse, Joseph had a couple of dreams. And I want you to look at these two dreams with me for just a moment. Chapter 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I've had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up, also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to mine." Then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And he had another dream, and he related to his brothers and said, "Lo, I've still had another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And he related it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Hatred, hate it. Now, as you move through this whole chapter, many of us know this story, but what happens is these guys, they want to kill this brother of theirs. They want to kill him, destroy him. And they're out on the way shepherding sheep, and their father sends him off again to check on the sheep and the family business, and he heads out, and all of a sudden he shows up, and he's at a distance, and the other brothers are just talking, and said, here comes this dreamer. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought to just kill him. Let's just kill our brother. And so when Joseph comes, they beat up on him a little bit and throw him into this dry well. And they're going to leave him there until they decide how they're going to get rid of him. And they're talking about murder here. They're talking about killing their brother. This young son, this young boy is in this cistern. He doesn't know his fate except he's just hearing it. And you know what they're doing? They're having a meal. And they're talking about how they're going to do this. And the scripture says that they looked up and they saw this group of Ishmaelite traders, a caravan coming through. And so they decided, well, let's not put blood on our hands. Let's just sell him. So they pull him out of the cistern and they sell him to these Ishmaelites. And then you know the story. They take his robe, they tear it up, they kill a lamb, kill a goat, take the blood, put it on this robe, and they go to their father and they say to Jacob, can't find your son. We came upon his clothes, and we think he's been eaten by a beast. To this father, this son is dead. Yes, it is a favorite son of his. He was born in his old age. Loved this boy, loved this son, and he is dead to him now. Gone. And these sons, they know different. Here are sons that have been wounded themselves by their dad for picking favorites, not saying that that's right. Here's brothers who have nurtured those wounds, have walked in unforgiveness and bitterness, have heard murder in their hearts toward their own flesh and blood, and sell him off and lie to their godly old father who now grieves and will grieve for years the loss of this son. Remember, this is Israel. This is God's called, anointed, chosen by God to become a mighty nation. That was the dream of Abraham. It was the dream of Isaac. It's the dream of Jacob, and it's starting to happen. It's starting to take place. Doing this to flesh and blood. Now, if I were to tell Joseph, if I happened to be a counselor in those days, and I was on that caravan, and Joseph is telling me his story, as a counselor who knows the scripture and actually who knows his story, could tell him a couple of things. Number one, that God is at work. Why should I say that? Because God is always at work. God is always up to something. We may not see it, we may not feel it, we may not understand it, we may be going through a tough, hard time, but God is always at work in his children's lives. He's up to something. What is he up to? He's up to fulfilling the dreams of this 17-year-old boy. You say, well, thanks a lot, God. You're fulfilling dreams? Yes, you're fulfilling dreams. Listen, God has a dream for you. He's our father. What father or mother doesn't have dreams and visions for their children? Good dreams, good visions for their children. Why do we have those dreams? Because we're made in the image of God. And if you're a parent, you have that in you because it's in God. God has dreams for us. God has visions for you. And they're good. They've always been good. They've always been great. And what's great about this story is that God has a dream for Joseph, but he's also got a dream for these other brothers and their wives and their families, their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. But they can't see it. And none of us can really see it in our own eyes when we're going through the hard times of life. We have a God who gives dreams and gives visions. We do. And I would just say to you who are going through a hard time, maybe a time that you are dealing with anger, you are dealing with unforgiveness, never stop dreaming the dreams of your God. Never stop.
No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your children's life, your job, no matter what uncertainty there is, always, always remember the dreams of your Heavenly Father. There's some of you who have quit dreaming. You're no longer seeing the vision that God might have for your life, or you have forgotten it somehow. Way back when God gave you that vision and God gave you that dream. Yeah, God gives dreams. And in these days, I'm just asking, God, would you allow me to dream again in new, fresh ways? To see what you want us to see? To have vision? A vision that would be way beyond our resources, way beyond our ability, way beyond our giftedness, way beyond the personnel that we might have around us, so that it might be seen as a vision that is absolutely, totally impossible from man's point of view, but absolutely possible by God's. I don't know what that would mean for you individually. I don't know exactly what that would mean for our church. But there's some of us who are not dreaming. Some of us are not envisioning anymore. I know that some of us have had dreams and we've been disappointed. Those dreams sometimes have been shattered. And maybe that's what Joseph is experiencing here. He is shattered. His brothers hate him. And they've sold him to this caravan. And he doesn't know where he's going. But God knows where he's going. God gave two dreams to him, and those dreams will be fulfilled. God will fulfill. And what I want to say is that if you don't have a dream and if you don't have a vision that lines up to the Scriptures, listen, get one today. Get one, because there's purposes of our great God that God wants to fulfill in our lives. What are some of those purposes? Well, the Bible says that we'll rule and reign with him, that we would be conformed into his image. One day that we're going to be perfected, that God has adopted us, that God's going to confirm us, that he gives us an inheritance, that God's preparing a place for us, that God said he'd crush the head of the enemy, that he would deliver you, that he'd save you, that he'd wash you, that he'd cleanse you, that he'd do this enormous work in our lives. He'd bring life to that place, those places in your life that are dead, where you're no longer dreaming the dream anymore. Maybe it's a destroyed marriage. Maybe it's something that your children are going through that are really hard. Or maybe you're just still dealing with the junk of the past, the things that have happened to you. Listen, never stop dreaming the dreams of your Father God. Let's dream his dreams. Let's ask God to use us. Let's believe that God gives us meaning and abundant life. Let's believe that God makes us like Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit, that God brings the love and the joy and the peace and the life to us. Let's believe that and never forget that. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I look at the life of Joseph. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 49, if you would. Chapter 49. Jacob gives a series of prophetic words for his sons. He speaks over them, and some of them are not very good, but some of them are great. And he speaks over Joseph in verse 22, and I want you to look at this, because this is the end of the story. This is what you call having the end in mind, what God intends to do in these boys' lives, and what he intends to do in Joseph's life, and what I want to suggest, what he wants to come and do in our lives. Notice verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, a branch. A fruitful branch by a spring. Its branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, harassed him. But his bow remained firm. His arms were agile. From the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, from theirs the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From the God of your father who helps you, by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of heavens above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. Folks, if I'm going through trial, I'm going through tribulation, I'm going through struggle, I want to always, always remember the dreams of my Father, the purposes of God in my life. I don't ever want to get rid of those. I want to always keep them before me. But listen, archers are going to come and they're going to wound you. You're going to be fired at with missiles and darts. The Bible says that we have this struggle. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against the enemy. And the enemy comes, and we need to be armed, and we need to be ready so that we might protect our lives, our hearts, our families, our children from the onslaught of the enemy. Because I want to tell you, the thief does come to kill, steal, and destroy. Just look back over this past 1 week and look at the things that maybe the enemy kind of stirred up in your marriage this week. Or your life this week, or your relationships this week, or your children. Every one of us had those kind of moments this week. I'm going to tell you that right now. Most every one of us had those kind of moments where the enemy comes in to stir it up, to get you upset, to get you to grumbling and complaining, to get you to nourishing the wound. And it may be just a little cut. It may not be some kind of slash. It might not even be at the heart, but it's just something that came your way that you nurtured and you got mad about or upset about, and you continue to think about it. Archers are going to come and they're going to bitterly attack against you because the enemy does not want you to succeed in your marriage. The enemy does not want you to succeed in your Christian life. He does not want you to succeed in church life. And so he'll come. He'll come with a plan. And that plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. That plan will come to divide you. And so we're going to be wounded. We don't ever want to forget the dreams of our Father, the dreams that He has for our lives. But we're going to be wounded. This passage of Scripture says here, the archers came against Joseph and bitterly attacked him. But what does the Bible say? That he remained strong and he remained fruitful. So when wounded and hurt, be fruitful by the Spirit. Become strong, knowing that God is with you to bless you. Joseph, fruitful and influential. Joseph, bitterly attacked, who does suffer the wounds. Many of us know this story. Many of us know that he's going to have more trials, that God's going to be with him, that God's favor is going to be upon him, even in slavery, when he finds himself at Potiphar's house. Very influential man. And Joseph becomes very influential in this house. But I tell you, the archers will continue to pound at this boy's head. He's going to jail, and he's going to spend between 2 and 7 years in jail on a false accusation from Potiphar's wife. And how he did remain strong, and how his bow remained firm, how his hands were agile, and how he resisted the enemy, how he resisted the onslaught, because God has a plan. He always has a plan. And this great plan is to save a people from famine, to save these patriarchs and their families, so that this nation can become a great nation out of which you and I were birthed as the church. And Joseph is a part. He's a part of our story. And yet, here I want to say this. I believe this with all my heart, that God would raise us all up as Josephs. And when He raises you up to be fruitful in your life as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mama, as a son, as a daughter, to know that the enemy is going to come in like a flood, because he doesn't like that. And he'll do anything. He'll do anything to wedge you between the people that are supposed to be the most important people in your life. In your marriage, your church life, your family. A wedge to wedge you in. But you can be strong today. Because you're a people of grace. We're a people of mercy, a people of life. And that God has this plan that He is going to fulfill in our lives. And I take great comfort in that. Turn to James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. God has a dream for us. That dream is the abundant, fruitful life. Then the enemy is going to come. And I want to show you what James tells the church to do when the arrows come a-flying. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, that's not one trial, two trials, three trials, and they're not even the trials of the same nature.
or maybe even the same intensity. Some trials are small. Some trials are very difficult. So he says, listen, when you encounter various trials, and not if you encounter various trials, when you encounter various trials, count it all joy. Consider it all joy. Why? Because God has a dream for you, and he's going to fulfill this dream. He's going to fulfill this dream. He's going to fulfill this vision. And God has a vision for us. God has a dream for those of us who are in Dublin, and those of us who are in Stephenville, and those of us who are in somewhere in between, right? Comanche, Hamilton, Hyco. Vision for our communities. And for you and for me to be a part of that. To be used of God in our businesses, in our places of work. To be light in dark places, salt in rotting places. And I want to encourage you, church, that you have a great opportunity to dream the dreams of your Father. And yeah, when the arrows are coming, that you can remain strong by the grace of God. And you can bring life and blessing. You know, that's what Joseph does. When he gets into Egypt, God blesses everything that he does. And you know what he does? He blesses Potiphar's household as well. And then when they throw him into prison, he gets into prison, God shows him favor, and before you know it, the whole prison system's reformed. It's got God all over it. And they're letting this guy, this prisoner, run the whole prison. Why? Because of the favor and the presence of God that you and I have today in abundance. Oh, and I want to encourage us today. Let's dream the dreams of our Heavenly Father, and let's move toward it, and let's count it all joy when we encounter these trials, these missiles. Why? Because it's the testing of our faith. It produces the endurance. And then verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he receives the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. If you go through trial today, you have an opportunity to find the grace and the presence of God like Joseph did and move through the trial successful, prosperous. Or you can let bitterness and anger nurture, by which a root of bitterness gets into your heart and defiles you and defiles all those around us. I can dream the dream of my Father. I can believe as I'm facing the trial and I'm facing the struggle. And then I can be strong when the trial continues in my life, to know that even in the midst of the trial, God wants to do a great work, a mighty work. What would be our response to that? Well, he says it. Count it all joy. Be thankful. Be joyful. But Fritcher, you don't understand. My brothers wanted to kill me, and they threw me in a pit, and they sold me into slavery. Yeah, you're right. I don't understand. But I know what Scripture says. Joseph, keep dreaming the dream of your Heavenly Father. You've got two of them that define your life. What's the dream that you're allowing to define your life that God has given to you that's according to Scripture? Or what's the dream and the vision that you've left because you've been so disappointed? I mean, the archers are going to come and bitterly attack us. And I'll tell you, the greatest weapon is that shield of faith by which I can throw that up and say, thank you for that. I praise you for that. I glory in you for that. John Ground this morning reminded me of a story that he heard in a concentration camp of two sisters who were believers. The Ten Boom sisters, Corrie Ten Boom and her sister. And they helped Jewish families escape Nazi invasion in Holland. And some of you have seen the movie and some of you have read the book. And they made this little closet and hid Jewish people and families in that until they were able to get them out. And they were found out and they were thrown into that prison. And you know what they do in prison? they thrive. This is part of God's plan. It's part of God's dream. They thrive in prison. And they were desperately wanting to do Bible study, and they were in this dormitory, and the conditions were bad, and they were hard, and they wanted to do this Bible study, and the guards just kept stopping them every day, coming into that dorm, disrupting that Bible study. Angry words, hard words, threatening words. And one day the sisters were moved. And they were moved into a dorm that was flea infested. It was horrible. And you know what their response was? Thank you, God, for this dorm and for these fleas. They decided that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that they were to give thanks in everything. But this is God's will for your life. And so what do? They thank God for the flea infestation. That don't make sense to us. Of course it doesn't. But God has dreams. And God will use prison, concentration camps, flea-infested quarters, and even the filth of this world to position you to the next place of glory that God wants to bring you. So we don't complain. We give thanks. We give thanks, believing in the dream of our Father. And so for 6 months, they get to have Bible study because the guards don't want to go into that dorm because they don't want to encounter the infestation. Joy upon joy upon joy as men and women are encouraged in some of the most horrible places society has ever seen, where there's an oasis. You know, there can be an oasis in the midst of a flea infestation if the oasis is Jesus. Amen. Always remember the dreams of our God who desires to do this great work. And when the archers come, you remain strong, dreaming the dream, believing the promise, believing God's word. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I want to ask you a question. Are you dreaming the dreams of God today? Or are we just so busy with just all this other stuff that's going on in our lives that we forget that God wants to be in the middle of it? Is there a vision that you have for your life? I mean, I know there's some of you men and women who work in places that you have vision statements, and this is what you're supposed to be about, and this is how you're supposed to live it, and this is how you're supposed to work. Well, what about in your family? What about in our lives? And I want to encourage us today to dream these dreams, see these visions, expect to be shot at, but expect that God is bringing us to the next kinds of glory. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would stir our hearts. That God, that what might be going on in our lives in this moment is actually a part of your plan, used for your glory to get to the places that you want us to get to. A lot of times, Lord, we know that when we're in the middle of it and it is hard, that, Lord, we find difficulty in that. But God, I want to thank you for our future today. Give us a vision for our families. Give us a vision for our church family. Give us dreams, Lord, to dream. There's folks that have not dreamed in a long time. They've not envisioned. Matter of fact, their dreams have been shattered and they're on a shelf somewhere. And I pray that today would be the day that they take it off the shelf and embrace it. And they may be in a cistern. They may be on a caravan to who knows where. They may be in a household enslaved. They may be in a jail. But God, we know the end of the story. That Joseph rises to become one of the most important men of history. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that we would have that kind of faith, that kind of belief, that kind of hope today, to know that no matter what we go through in this life, you're in our midst, and you're bringing us to the next places of glory. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.
Come.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.